not a contributed pay perception. We're attempting to get a discussion going here on the perception of board positions. So, Carson.
So, just to kick this off, I prepared a couple of
concerns.
Okay, I prepared a couple of transparencies to get discussion going, really just to, we could add to these as we speak. So I had one transparency on what are desirable properties of coordinate conditions and another one on what coordinate conditions are actually in use. That seemed to be the two most obvious questions to address first. So, anybody has anything to add to this? If you couldn't get into that right away. So some properties that are always useful for slices, obviously the slices have to remain space-like if they were in the beginning, and they have to be regular particular. So we want to avoid slices becoming null or going caustic, as the kind of singularities that Miguel has described. And we want to avoid spatial grid distortion in a given slice. It obviously,
yeah.
Well, that means that coordinate distance roughly is equivalent to proper distance. So we don't have very large, very small metric coefficients. Grid stretching, grid distortion, grid sucking, these things. And obviously, we want good numerics, which has two aspects. We want them to be cheap, which elliptic equations aren't. And we want things that are numerically stable. So the numeric, here I'm saying the numerics have to be stable. That's different from the coordinate conditions, the abstract being good. These are two separate issues. And there is a number of issues, quite a high number actually, that involve trade-offs. So we can't have all of these, or we might not want all of these. So we might want to avoid space-time singularities, or we might not. We might want to facilitate excision. And that's something that all of us who have done excision have found, that there's different slicings of, say, Schwarzschild that make excision simpler or more difficult, depending on how large the shift that makes Schwarzschild static in that particular slicing is. And I'm sure there's a generalization of that for arbitrary black holes. We might want to facilitate analysis in the sense that if we know that the late time stage is going to be Schwarzschild or Kerr, we want to have coordinates in which we can recognize them as Schwarzschild and Kerr so that we can perhaps match to perturbative evolution. That requires, of course, that we have something like the Schwarzschild in known coordinates plus something small. Something that I think everybody's aware of, but David and I have been pushing particularly, is that one might want to capture approximate killing vectors in the sense that if there's an approximate killing vector, then everything should become approximately time independent. So that means in particular if we have an in-spiral phase of the binary black hole problem, then the coordinates should be co-rotating and the metric should evolve on the time scale of the in spiral rather than on the rotation time scale. So that's not a new idea, but it's a generally maybe a desirable thing, may not be. Many coordinate conditions do not have that property. Another thing that is perhaps not quite trivial is that the slicing condition should work for all initial slices, which means we can't exclude certain space times and we can't exclude certain slicings, for example, maximal slicing. Requires that we have an initial maximal slice. And finally, we may want to exclude that gauge information in that slicing travels at infinite or superluminal speeds. So these are some of the things that I was thinking of. The obvious trade-off are that between avoiding space-time singularities and facilitating excisions, between facilitating analysis and approximate and capturing killing vectors, say we have some scheme that sort of immediately freezes a slice along the approximate killing vector, that may freeze that slice in a very distorted shape, and then just the slice may be stable and static, time independent for all times, but remain sort of warped. Where we might actually want a scheme that actively tries to pull slices straight in some way. So these are, again, sort of things which you can't have both of them. And similarly, one scheme that has been proposed to capture approximate killing vectors was the Brady-Crichton-Thorne scheme, and that does not exist for space times where the and slicings where the extrinsic curvature has certain algebraic properties. So there is these obvious trade-offs. Okay, let me give an overview of what coordinate conditions are in use, and I'm sure I've overlooked some here, but I've tried to. I've tried to classify them a little bit. So there are obviously algebraic conditions, elliptic, and there are things that have one or two time derivatives. Let me not take parabolic and hyperbolic too seriously here. So algebraic conditions, maybe sort of trivial examples where we take the Laplace shift from an exact solution or where we have double null coordinates. And these, of course, require special initial slices, slices that are in the exact solution or slices that are originally null. And for the shift, there's a similar thing. In particular, we have Bondi coordinates among single null coordinates where we have a radial shift that's given. And algebraic conditions that do not require special initial slices would be sort of generalizations of the area locking shift from 1D to 3D that have been certainly tried by some groups. Now, elliptic conditions are the most common ones, the most familiar ones. There's obviously maximal slicing where k is equal to 0 and it stays 0 as time evolves. And there's constant mean curvature slicing where k may change with time, but it's not 0 and it's constant only on each given slice, so its spatial derivative is 0. Again, these require obviously special slices. In the general slice case, the most notable example are minimal strain distortion, Laplace and shift. The minimal strain distortion shift is, of course, familiar from at least the paper by Smar and York, maybe earlier, I don't know, where one tries to keep a positive definite measure of the time derivative of the free metric to be minimal. And that gives us an elliptic equation for the shift. If one varies the same functional with respect to the Laplace, one gets an algebraic condition on the Laplace. And it has been proposed recently, as I said, by Brady, Crichton, and Thorn, to put these two things together, in which case one plugs this equation into that one, and single very complicated elliptic equation for the shift. Something else one could do is make the time derivative of k 0. That's something I want to talk about later in my own contribution, and not impose that k is spatially constant. So that allows arbitrary slices. The same equation as for maximal slicing, but one doesn't assume that the initial slice is maximal. Now, if one adds one time derivative, well, the well-known cases are harmonic slicing or harmonic spatial coordinates. This, of course, is box t equal to 0. There's 1 plus log slicing. But of course, one can generalize this family to a whole family of. These are one way around? Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Okay. And then there is this even larger generalization that Miguel has made. I believe the generalizations of these two cases with shift you have is that you get the d0 operator here, d by dt minus transport part. And finally, there is the most general case where the general harmonic slicing, where one has an arbitrary function for the time slicing or three arbitrary functions for the spatial coordinates. These are usually called gauge source functions.
Yes? None of those seem to be parabolic.
No,
there are some like that.
Well, oh yes, there's something I forgot to write down, the drivers. Yes, these are supposed to relax, right? So drivers. So the idea is, yes, you impose an elliptic equation by writing the corresponding heat equation down.
The corresponding heat equation. Maximal equation.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that Wymo has been suggesting and using.
And I think Charlie suggested that.
Yes, I was going to quote him here, namely, as I think he said in some discussion during this conference that we might want to use a second time derivative as well to make the thing hyperbolic, and that he called that the numerical equivalent of over relaxation, the sort of continuum limit of over relaxation. So I put that here. That's supposed to be him. And then so, yes, good.
You mean you have one issue is enforcing the particular case by arriving, and the other issue is the actual set of conditions. The actual set of conditions you're trying to enforce.
So, what do you want to call them?
Whatever you want to call them.
Well, you should name them if you.
One thing I want to say is that among the elite class, there's an interesting kind of lab. That you look at, namely the gamma fusion lab.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes, that would be. Yes, that's right, the gamma dot. That class. Yes, but isn't that algebraic?
No, it's Newton with the equation.
Okay. Right, and so what do you want to call this, just for reference?
Relaxation.
Well, okay, I'm not quite clear what the difference is, therefore I certainly don't want to name it. Okay, I think I'll sit down now. Perhaps we could pass the microphone around if we have the discussion.
Let's see. I'm hoping we can further decorate this chart with further ideas, further gauges, and also advantages and disadvantages of all these things for the two black hole problems, which is the thing on the table right now. Yeah, help.
Is this the end of it, or when is this
something? That's all the... Well,
no,
that's...
No, this is probably good actions to it before. No, this is what I should remember.
I mean, these things refer to particular kinds of representation of the data set. For example, if you have frame problems, there are lots of other problems.
Well, let's make a longer table.
Hey, you grab the one on the blackboard.
So, if you have the frame combination, you have the gamma, and you have the center.
Maybe better to put them on a transparent.
Yeah, I didn't have a blank one.
You want to scan it in afterwards.
Oh, I was going to copy it. Anybody have a blank one? Yeah, okay, why don't you do that?
You have a frame EI, for example.
Yeah,
And you may take a combination.
I guess I run it down.
Okay, why don't you, go ahead. Yeah, good.
You see,
by
example, the index is already on the wrong
text.
Sorry.
You may give this thing freely, where this is a time magnetic field. If you want to have not the superluminous speed. And you have the connection coefficient. And you may also give a combination. How do I say? It's this combination, which may be given freely. So this is a new function, let's say gamma of ik x mu.
Okay.
So these things are free. this thing has the advantage that you have perfect control how you steer this thing. Because you may give this thing arbitrarily, you have control about the causal nature of this thing. So it has some advantage. Something else which you can have in a frame formalism, I have to remember. You may impose a condition of this form. Now these functions are given freely. In the final expression, this amounts then to having something like, I think it's something like this. Equal to something given. Oh, okay, I put this index down, and this I think is done as cliche. I would have to look up, maybe there are signs or something. I mean, this is another possibility to impose a condition on the frame. It's a wave equation for the frame. So I guess it depends on the formalism, what one can do, and I guess that one can make up other lists as well.
Now, does this lead to elliptic, parabolic, and hyperbolic equations?
I use this to get hyperbolic.
Yes, but can you get other ones as well if you want to?
In these cases?
Because the only examples of this I've seen are for hyperbolic systems.
Yes, I never looked at those because I love hyperbolic equations. So I guess one can also do something there, but I never tried.
Okay. I'm wondering which order to do things in. I've got a list of questions. Let me propose that I put up my list of questions now. Except if anybody else has an item, a kind of important condition to put on the list that Carson and Helmut have going, we should get things on the list right now. We're always thinking, I'm about to lecture you on that point, yes. Okay, so why don't I do that first then? And